All right. Who or what's made you mad? It's time to release. It's time for a little therapy session here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Third hour of the program on this Friday afternoon. Something or someone has made you mad this week. The best one to participate, 615-737-1025. He's going to get a Predators prize pack. That's what's at stake. 615-737-1025. Who or what has made you mad? You've had all week to think about it. All week to gather. If you've been out and about, you don't even have to be out and about. You don't. Social media, something will make you mad. Now we just want to hear from you. This is where you participate in the show. At the bottom of the hour, David Poyle, Predators general manager, so we'll have a good talk with him. We'll have trivia in the final hour of the program. Who would like to start? Who's mad today?
Willie?
All at once? Never
mind. I'll go. I'm ready.
Okay.
I will start.
Nobody's mad?
So I went on vacation last week. Feels like forever ago because this week has flown by. We've had so much to talk about. But I was on vacation, and where I was at, there was like a little taco stand that you could, you know, because we walked everywhere. I mean, it was just, we were close to everything, so wasn't a lot of driving. And so there was this taco stand that we went to, and this was at night. Go and get, you know, a couple of tacos. That's going to be my dinner. And so I placed my order and standing there, and it's out, you know, it's kind of like a food truck setup. So you're just standing outside, and I'm just waiting on my order. And it's one of those situations where I kind of stand there and I'm going, they came up after me and they're leaving. I mean, I got two tacos. I don't really know how hard this is. So they're okay. They showed up. Nope, they're gone now. And so I'm having one of those moments, and I'm like, hey, what's the deal? And they say, well, it's almost ready. We'll have it for you in just a second. I'm like, okay. A few more minutes go by. Finally, call my name, go up, get my bag. And I'd been waiting. Like I said, I've been waiting. Look in it. There's only one taco. I ordered two. And I said, excuse me, I ordered two. Oh, well, they're wrapped together. They're all in one thing. And I looked and I go, not so sure about that. Open it up. Sure thing. It's just one. And so I got my second one, but it was just a process, a harder process.
Well, yeah, you had to call them out,
right,
to get it.
And the fact that it took them that long and people were coming and ordering and leaving, you know, I guess more. I ordered two tacos and I stood there and had to wait. So, and I, you know what's funny? I've already forgotten the name of the place, but you just made the list. I was not happy.
You know, in hungry. These times, the restaurant business, you know, some have done better than others. So obviously, some it's crippled or ravished, they've gone away. You would think they would be on, you know, their A game, right? You would think that you'd be getting the best of the best. Everything would be really good on their end, and you would not have to go through this during these times. But I guess that's not the case.
Such is life.
Willie, what you got?
I'm going to take the LHF here, the low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
And I will put baseball on the list. And for this reason, and by the way, awesome insights from Gary Parrish on a number of things. We started off our planning session last night just wanting to get a view of the Grizzlies in some form, who have a huge game this afternoon. He illustrated perfectly, they're a fun team to watch. If you're just looking for something fun and you're like, well, I haven't watched NBA in a while or whatever, you will be entertained by the Grizzlies, I guarantee you. But the stuff on the NCAA basketball tournament was fascinating.
Yes,
and
it was.
The challenges for college football. That was really, really interesting stuff. And with that in mind, baseball is on the list for not considering more deeply the bubble.
The Which bubble is, they were the first, right? They were the
they
first
had,
to come
they had
out with
all
this.
All the time. They had time to put together the bubble, and they crossed it off the list very, very early. And in hindsight, boy, that could be very costly. I'm with everybody. I've been watching baseball hours every day. I love that it's back, and I'm holding my breath that they can find a way through it, even if they got to play these 7-inning doubleheaders and anything that it's any way, anyhow. Gary put it well. He says you just got to get to the finish line somehow this year, and then hopefully evolving. We'll eventually get through this, and we can get back to playing a regular schedule. But in the meantime, they made a very poor decision not to try to play in the bubble. That was the way to go. So baseball, you just made the list.
You know what?
You just made the list.
I don't know if they've gotten off the list. They've been on the list for weeks.
Well, that's to say, they've been a usual suspect. Yeah.
And I'm glad. And at the same time, I'm a junkie. Right, I'm watching. Who's on? Somebody on? I'm watching. You know, I'm watching Mookie. I'm watching the Mets.
I was watching Red Sox and Mets yesterday.
I mean, it's great. I mean, I love what they're doing when they play the games. They're doing the best they can, but the travel is going to be tough. I mean, it's the odds are against them because of all the things that they can't control.
I was watching the Padres. I liked those Padres uniforms last night. Those are the unis I like.
I like them too.
I like those. The ones that I saw earlier in the week, I did not like. These, I like.
And also, how about Mike Yastrzemski? Speaking of the Padres,
yeah,
who are playing the Giants, Mike Yastrzemski is off to a hot start.
Yes, he is.
He put two in the two in the bay.
Two
the
in the
other
bay.
Night.
Yes, he did. I even, because I knew we were going to talk a little NBA. Today with Gary Parrish, I even watched a healthy portion of Lakers-Clippers last night. I wanted to see what their setup looked like. I wanted to see, how the NBA was doing. Obviously, I've been watching a ton of these exhibition games in hockey, but I wanted to see the NBA, their setup and how they were going about it. I think it looked really good. I watched a good portion of Lakers-Clippers. And then I watched a little bit of the Coyotes in Vegas till they like put me to sleep. I mean, Arizona just, I don't know. I know they kind of livened up in the third period, but they bored the hell out of me last night. I wasn't impressed with their performance, but Willie, you actually took where I was going with that. And honestly, I was going to say the same thing. And this whole notion of, oh, you can't go to that state because that state is bad. By the way, every state's bad. The MLS and the NBA is in the state of Florida, and they're pulling it off, okay? If you're in a controlled environment and you're in a bubble situation and you're not playing on the beach, then you can pull it off. And I just think, and I get it, at the time, Florida and Arizona were not faring well. But if you're in a controlled environment, you have a chance, a much better chance. And by the way, every day we wake up, more Marlins test positive. What's the count to now? Like 20?
19, I think, was the last I saw.
I think I've seen 20. I think it's up to 20.
They put them on a bus. They put them on a bus and sent the bus home.
I'm with you
they
on
did.
It.
They're bussing think home they, from Philadelphia.
Yes, yes. And I think that they missed the boat. I think they had the right idea from jump, where we thought it would be at those sites in Florida and Arizona. Those training camp sites.
Yeah, they threw it out there. It was
they were
considered.
The first ones, and that is, to me, that would have been the way to go. And I think they have absolutely, unfortunately, like a lot of things, Major League Baseball seems to miss on. I think they have missed badly on how to go about trying to just do a 60-game season that they are failing miserably at right now.
I texted you guys this morning, and I said the over-under a week and a half. Until they pause it or bag it or whatever you want to call it. And maybe it's slightly over, but right now I don't feel confident. I don't feel confident at all. I'm watching on MLB Network.
I think they'll get through
showing...
it, but I think it's going to take some really strange scheduling that is going to have a lot of twists and turns and seven-inning doubleheaders.
Seven-inning doubleheaders is where they're headed. That's where they're going.
They have to. I mean, Ken Rosenthal... Rosenthal said that last night. It's going to happen. So I admired them. They have to get through it, but just it would have been better to be in the bubble. And I wonder if NFL isn't sitting there going,
I'm with
you. Are we going to do the same thing as baseball here, or is there something we can do? I mean, I think they feel they have ignored. They have been full steam ahead. We're playing.
Yep.
We're playing in our stadiums. And I don't know if that's the right thinking here. I wonder if somebody somewhere has to be at least considering, you know, how would we do it? Because
well,
if we do it
simple.
The way baseball is doing it, it's not going to work.
Willie, it's very simple. You treat the whole season like training camp, okay? They stay in a hotel. They basically, every team finds a team hotel, and all you're doing is going back and forth from the hotel to the facility. I mean, that's how I would think. Honestly, I have felt the same way. Like, is the NFL back in a room going, wait a minute. We need to talk about this. Why not just have – basically, everybody has their own bubble. You can't – I don't think it's a league-wide bubble. It's not like, okay, let's all meet here and, you know, we'll set it up like the NHL and like the NBA and MLS. I think every team should just have their own bubble. There should be a hotel, a team hotel, and they should just go back and forth because the Titans, it's been the Maxwell House, right? So that's right by the facility. So they just go back and forth, Maxwell House to the facility, just and that's they just have a team bubble. They're not going home. They're not going home, and they're not going to just be able to do whatever they want.
It's too late unless you delay the season at this point, right? It takes weeks. I mean, think about how long the NHL and the NBA took to put that whole elaborate thing together.
Because you have to plan with the hotels. I mean, the hotel you essentially are going to have to take over the hotel to do it right. And, you know, so that obviously takes some planning, you know, a lot of time to plan that. So, I think somewhere at some point, they may not admit it publicly, but somebody's going to go, you know, we've kind of goofed on this one. We've messed this one up. That's where they're at.
You took mine. I think baseball absolutely blew it. I think they had it right out of the gates. And they punted that plan, and I think they are going to live to regret punting the plan of Florida and Arizona, two hubs, and that's where baseball would be, and at those training camps or spring training sites, and I think they've blown it. I don't even know. I know they'll probably figure out a way to get through this. It'll just be a mess. But the best plan would have been to do what they initially threw out, that they punted. And so I'm with you on that. That's exactly where I was going. All right, we've got loaded lines. 615-737-1025. A Predator's prize pack at stake for the best. You just made the list. Who or what has made you mad? Steven, get us started.
Hey, guys. After watching last night's game, I have got to put David Poile on the list.
Okay, why?
You just made the list!
Well, after watching what I believe to be a kind of a dirty hit, a knee-to-knee shot to Arvidsson, and then obviously the Bortuzzo dirty hit, the Corey Perry dirty hit, these dirty hits are getting to a point that I'm done seeing them occur to our players. With all due respect to Austin Watson and Anton Norty, I want Poile to go out and find somebody who's essentially willing to go back to jail, because Tenorti and Watson are not enough of a preventative to keep our star players from having these dirty hits. And the way this roster is constructed, it's one of those situations where the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. We don't have one or two superstars like Pittsburgh driving this team. So we need this team as a whole healthy. But RV, with his diminutive stature, he's not going to hold up with these continuous dirty hits that really are – we don't have anybody to act as a deterrent for somebody like a Corey Perry or a Bertuzzo or a cop in Winnipeg. So that's why.
Okay. All right, Steven. Thank you for the phone call. The hit that he's talking about, at least on Victor Arvidsson, was just under 5 minutes to go in the second period. It was the guy who replaced Tyler Seguin. The Stars announced before the game that Tyler Seguin, unfit to play, would not play in the exhibition game, but he is expected to play in the round-robin games. And so did you view that hit as dirty on Victor Arvidsson?
at the very least, it should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
Victor, after the game, said something like, you know, there are players that are trying to make an impression. This was a young kid, I think, that was trying to show up and show that he was ready. He's very young, 18 or 19, maybe 20. Former first-round pick, Delandria is his name. I was just very thankful. That was a scary moment.
Oh, yeah.
When you see a guy's leg fly up like that, I was really worried.
And he was slow to get up.
And he was able to, I think, roll with a little bit. I think they made contact with his right leg before he hit him with the left leg. I don't think it was a dirty hit. It's just one of those high-speed things. Victor Arvidsson said, when I make a move to the middle of the ice, I have to be prepared to get hit.
He did. He said that. Mm-hmm.
And so they stayed away from saying that that was a dirty play. And so I think it was borderline. It probably should have been called a kneeing penalty. But I'm just thankful that he appears to be okay. There was another hit that happened in the Coyotes game. Ryan Reeves clocked Nick Schmaltz, an important player for the Coyotes, and he had to leave the game. It looked like it got him right in the forehead. And it wasn't a dirty play, but it was a very aggressive hit, and it was high. So I don't know. This will be something we haven't seen yet in these games, anybody get fined or penalized or suspended. But we know when the high stakes happen, there will be some hits like that have to get discussed and sorted out, and perhaps there will be penalties.
Well, there was also a hit late in the first period by Dickinson, and Victor Arvidsson took exception to it. Ryan Johansson took exception to it on Dante
Favreau. Got hit high. Yeah.
And Dickinson got hit with the illegal hit to the head, but Victor Arvidsson also got hit with elbowing because he was frustrated, and so he got caught for,
He hit him. I mean, Victor got him in the head. There's no doubt.
But he was frustrated with that, and, of course, Johansson took exception to the hit on Fabro. So, as for Corey Perry, it doesn't matter who you have, but the Corey Perry's going to do what Corey Perry does. That's just what he's done his whole career. And it's not going to change him. You're not going to scare
him
away.
Our caller points out a dilemma for every GM.
Yep.
Right, is how do you want to address that? When you have Ryan Reeves, it's not a problem, right? Because he's good enough to at least take some minutes and take a regular – he's a good enough player to go with the physicality and the intimidation and, as he called it, a deterrent. Those guys are getting harder and harder to find because you don't want somebody that can't skate, can't move, and doesn't do anything else other than that. But I think that is still a way of thinking that has some merit is, you want people thinking twice before they go after, take liberties with your best players.
615-737-1025. Who or what is on your list? Bob, you're up next.
People who say that the coronavirus will cease to exist the day after the presidential election are on my list.
You just made the list.
You've heard that? You've heard people say that?
There are.
There are people who are thoroughly convinced this thing goes away in November. So I know what Bob's talking about, yes. And by the way, they're not just saying that just flippantly. They truly mean that.
They
100% mean that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's got an expiration date. I'm pretty sure the virus doesn't have an expiration date of
the virus November. Like, all right, we're out.
Okay, nothing to see here, guys.
Pack it up.
Let's go. Pack it up. Yeah, get your stuff. Let's go. Out to the ocean or the island or wherever a virus goes when it packs up and leaves. Where does the virus go? Do we know?
I don't know. An island, probably. Yeah, that sounds nice for the virus, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that is definitely out there. All right, let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
First, I would like to say that I hope that's true, but I do not want to visit.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm rooting for that.
I don't want to visit Virus Island. That doesn't sound fun.
No.
Just fine, Island.
But who? Yeah, I know. But who is on my list today is whoever coordinates the fair that goes on in the parking lot of Cool Springs Mall. On Sunday, I was driving home. I saw a tower in Cool Springs Mall with many lights blinking, and I was like, oh, no. there is a coronavirus hotbed in the parking lot of Cool Springs Mall. Because you know there's no social distancing at carnivals. And, you know, they don't ever clean the rides. So whoever coordinates the traveling Cool Springs Mall carnival, you just made the list.
You just made the list!
They actually had a carnival.
So that was up and running in the parking lot?
In Cool
That's
Springs
what
Mall?
That is what I am assuming, because what other tower do you have in a parking lot that's blinking lights at night? And it's colorful light.
When did you see this?
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
That's not good.
We might need to investigate that a little further. Yeah. But, yeah, no, that's... If that
I mean, I'm more than willing to be put on the list if that isn't true. But, I mean, what I couldn't think of is anything else that would have colorful lights blinking on a tower.
So we don't know for sure. But
it's not a positive, but I am highly assuming.
Highly assuming. Okay. So if what you think happened, then you're going, that's your list.
Yes.
Okay. All right. If there was a carnival in Cool Springs Galleria parking lot, they're on the list. All right. Let's go to Barrett. Who or what is on your list?
I want to know who drove the bus with the 20-plus Marlins all the way from Philly to Florida. How do they find a volunteer bus driver for that?
I would like to know if they reworked their deal on how much they were going to get paid to do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he
must have been put in a glass case of emotion in the driver's chair. He's got to be sealed off somehow from the rest
it's
of
like
the people.
It's like
in
a phone booth.
Right?
or maybe there's a pool
like
of
Brian
drivers.
Boucher.
They test positive, but they're asymptomatic, so they volunteer to go because they're doing a public duty. I'd like to think that might be the case. But I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to put 102.5 The Game's mobile app on the list.
Okay, what happened?
It's done me right for a year or more, and I'm out here working, and I'm all ready to go and plug in the earbuds and open up the app, and the button that says Listen Live is missing. And so I look all around, and there's a link to the website, and it says to listen live here. And so that starts in a Pella commercial with a Predators player plays for 17 seconds. But then
Ryan Ellis, yeah.
we can't load your audio. I mean, did they go into business with the Lexus car company that's often complained about? But I need that app,
Doug.
Fellas. Get it up and going. How can we work out here without Darren, Donick, and Chase? How can we do it? How can we get through the day?
Well,
I will get right on this, Barrett, and make sure that
we have got to get this fixed.
I'm on an Android Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus, and the app is updated. It's a very modern phone. It's not, like, outdated or anything. But love the show, gentlemen. I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope I can listen.
Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Yeah, you too. I'm on the app now.
I am too, and I see what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't see a listen live.
Also, we've just gotten two calls in the last 3 minutes confirming the fair in the parking lot that Nate was talking about.
That it was,
golly.
There was a carnival in the parking lot?
Correct. We've had two people confirm.
Really? And yes, there is not a listen live right now on the app.
I am investigating.
Nashville, we have a problem. We have a problem.
Not on the website either.
Not on the website either. You're right. I just pulled that up.
Let's get our people. Let's get our people on that.
This is a huge problem. We are.
You'll have to do something crazy like turn your radio on.
Well, but you know, we've got all these options for a reason.
I know. That absolutely.
And they should be made available to people who need to listen.
I'm being silly.
All right. We will come back. So Nate's info was correct, and Barrett's info was correct. We have validated what they have put out there. We'll come back. We'll talk to Predators General Manager David Poile. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You know what that music means. Hockey's back. The exhibition games are in the books. They're done. Everything gets going tomorrow morning. It'll actually start in Toronto with the first game. It'll be at 11 o'clock Central. Five qualifying round games on Saturday, and then the Predators will start the Sunday action. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday afternoon. We were here. We had our setup. We did something we've never done on the radio side. Pete Weber and Hal Gill in a room at Bridgestone Arena. I was here at my home. Ian Safar was the producer back at our studio. So everybody was separated and no issues. Willie over on the television side, they did a first too, something they've never done before. That whole broadcast crew there at Bridgestone Arena giving you the Predators Stars exhibition game. No issues. Now we speak with Predators General Manager David Poile. He's in Edmonton. He's in the Hub City. He was there at the setup at Rogers Place. David, what did you think seeing it in person?
No issues.
That's good to report. And a victory. So all in all, it was good. But it looks great on television. What about in person?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I just can't believe they put this together on such short notice. All of the, I guess you say, all the protocols, safety, testing, feel like you're in a healthy environment. It's just really, really good. The hotel's great. Everybody's got their own meal room. Everybody's got their own meeting room. The players have a lounge over at Rogers Arena. They have like ping pong tables. There's like a golf simulator. Outside the hotel, there's a fenced off area so you can actually go outside, not very far, but you can go outside. They call it the yard, kind of like in the Shankshock Redemption, the yard. So it's all really, really good. I mean, to have this, I guess you say put this together to pull this off, I think it's phenomenal. And knock on wood, again, we get tested every day. Every morning we get tested, as we did all during training camp. So it feels like it's a good environment. All the teams seem to be really excited. I think the competition, we watched all of the, the preseason games that each team played here. And on this side, all the teams were very competitive. And it's going to be this tournament, if you will, anything could happen. And I think there's a lot of good teams that have a real good chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year.
As we talked about earlier on the show, it looks like the hub cities, the bubbles, whatever you want to call it, has really been the way to go. It has worked out thus far. It has been highly successful to this point. NHL, NBA, MLS, all in controlled environments, and other sports doing it in controlled environments. And it looks like Major League Baseball, which their initial plan, David, was to have basically a controlled environment in two places, in Arizona and Florida. For whatever reason, they went away from it, and they're having massive problems, as you know. I guess right now what I was getting at is, to your point of the setup being there, it looks like this was the right way to do it. The NHL got it right, two hub cities hosting each conference, and right now, so far, so good, knock on wood, that's the route to go.
Yeah, it certainly feels that that's the right thing to do. I mean, obviously, if you're flying around from city to city, getting on airplanes, coming in touch with people that aren't being tested every day, staying in hotels, checking in, checking out. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's the right recipe for success. So, yes, I agree with you. I think the NHL and the PA together got the right formula to give this a chance. And also, we're in an area specifically us in Edmonton, where the COVID has been very low, for the last 4 or 5 months. So, you never know. You got to keep your fingers crossed that still goes well. But again, I can't imagine, going to any other area that I'd feel is quite as comfortable as where we are right now. So far, so good.
I want to ask you about Jarrett Tinordi. Had over 16 and a half minutes of ice time. We've talked to you about him before, but it seems like going into the pause, he was definitely a guy that John Hines and his staff was very comfortable with, and you were as well. It seems coming out of the pause that Jarrett Tinordi continues to be a focal point of almost, dare I say, a shoe-in for that third D pairing. He played a lot of penalty kill minutes, more than anybody, not even close, almost 4.5 minutes of shorthanded play. Let's just go back to that. What have you seen? What have you guys, what has he done to really shed light where you guys seem to really like what he brings to the table?
Well, we were unhappy with our overall penalty killing for most of the year, and we're looking. I mean, we have a really good defense, but on the other hand, maybe all the guys that we have are not together, aren't perfect for killing penalties. So we're looking for somebody that had a little bit more of an element. And you know, Jared is the biggest player on our team, and he's probably the toughest player on our team, and he brings that element that we're looking for, that that ability to box out in front of the net to keep that area as clear as possible, to give our goaltenders a better chance to make the saves. And again, it just seems to be right now a real good fit. I mean, Jarrett was a high draft pick by Montreal. He was a first round pick, but never seemed to get the opportunity, or maybe in their eyes, develop. And he's been playing mostly in the minor leagues. And you know, we got a chance to sign him a year ago, and it's. He's not only been a good player, but he's been a really good leader down in Milwaukee. He was the captain down there. So far, so good. And I, to your expression, shoe-in for the third spot, that's a strong phrase, if you will. But it really feels like he's got a foot up on a couple other guys because of the element that he brings and because he can kill penalties pretty effectively. So it's been an improvement for our team having when we added Jared onto our team late in the season.
David, you guys were able to address two extra players, and one of those extra players was, well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but we'll just, for the sake of this conversation, say Colin Blackwell was one of those extra players. He's another one I'd like to ask you, a guy that we had seen a lot of, especially when John Hines had taken over. What do you guys see and like in Colin Blackwell?
Sort of like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, there's no stopping Colin. Every shift is, he plays it like it's his last shift. He's just a hard player, not the biggest guy. He took a run yesterday at Dallas's bigger player. I think he came out probably a little bit the worst for the wear on that one, but it never deters him. And he just plays with a lot of, I guess you'd say, heart and soul. And, you know, there's always room for a guy on our team for that can play like that. But, you know, he's in a little bit of a fight for, you know, getting minutes. Yakov Trenin didn't play yesterday. I think Trenin started off camp a little bit slow, but as it came along, he got better. Again, if we're going to have some success and we're going to go anywhere in terms of winning rounds, we're going to need lots of players. So, Colin had a good showing yesterday. I don't know if the coach is exactly set in terms of what his fourth line would be, but based on yesterday, it probably is Yarncroc and Incisions, Austin Watson, and then you've got Blackwell. So he's got a decision to make there, but it's a good decision that he has to make in terms of the fact that we've got good depth right there now being a healthy hockey club.
David Poile is with us, general manager of the Predators, as they prepare for the real thing on Sunday, game one against the Arizona Coyotes, a 1 o'clock face-off Central Time. David, you know, you can't tell everything from an exhibition game, but you'd certainly rather come out of it the way everybody felt about it yesterday, feeling good about the process here. And that just seems to be something that has been elusive at times the last season or two, even though, you know, you're talking about a team that's won a lot of games and won division titles. But there seems to be going into a postseason just a little bit of doubt. I don't know what the right word is, but it seems right now this is a very confident group, a lot of belief that things are going to go well, at least today as we sit here.
Yeah, I felt the same way, and I was saying to our staff before the game that I had a good feeling about how we were going to play, and I'm saying that for a reason, because I think there's a lot of time this year that I probably wouldn't be able to have said the same thing, just not sure exactly what we were going to get in terms of our consistency. But, you know, when I saw the players come back at training camp and the focus was there, the line combinations, defense pairings were all set up, and the work ethic was there on a daily basis. You couldn't have asked much more from what the players put into training camp. So usually you're rewarded when you prepare well, work hard, and stay focused. And I think that's what we saw yesterday, albeit it's, an exhibition game, but it was important, I think, for are keen to see their work rewarded. And I, you know, just talking to a few players after the game and a little bit at breakfast this morning, they all, you know, all feel really good. It was a good start for us. And, you know, we did some good things offensively. And then in the third period, we, you know, Dallas played, you know, pretty good, and they played more defensively. But, you know, to me, there was no really major breakdowns in our game. It seemed like we never got rattled, and there's a lot of things to like about our complete game last night. So let's hope that carries over to Sunday against Arizona.
One key that we have talked about a lot is, and it's been a theme all year long, is can Kyle Turris fit on that wing playing with Matt Duchene, two natural centers? If it clicks, it really looks like it puts everybody in a perfect spot. So what have you seen from Kyle Turris playing out of position a little bit, if you will, but playing with some very skilled guys? How has that looked to you?
Well, I think you're going to see both Turris and Duchene play the wing and center, depending on what the matchups might come through the Arizona situation in terms of what Coach Hines wants to do. So I think that's I liked their line yesterday. They got a couple of good chances. They certainly weren't a defensive liability. I would like Duchene and Turris to be a little bit more selfish. They both get the puck in a really good position, and they seem to be looking to make that one last pass. They both have scored a lot of goals in the past, and I'd just like to see them be just a little bit more selfish, just to try to score, and a little bit less pass, because they certainly got lots of skill with the line, and Granny is such a hard worker that, you know, he's always in there first getting the puck for those guys. And I think if they would just bear down a little bit more and just think about shooting that puck, that the results could be there for that line.
Another guy I'm curious about is Dante Fabbro, because this isn't your normal growth curve. There was that pause in there, but I know how high everybody is on him long-term, and this is a great challenge. Playing alongside of Matias Ekholm, who's kind of a known quantity, how does Dante Fabbro's game look as you head into these huge high-stakes games?
Well, he had a really good training camp. I thought that he looked like he had grown, or his game had matured a lot. I think yesterday he and Ekki played well. He took a pretty bad hit from one of the Dallas players, which was a penalty. It was an illegal hit to the head, and I think that was probably threw him off for a little bit of the game. But saw him this morning; he seems to be fine. So I think Dante's in a good spot, and again, he's playing pretty big minutes for a young guy playing in the top four. So all things look really good for Dante and the continued good play of our defense in our top four.
Predators general manager David Poile here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And David, before I continue on your team, I do want to ask you about one of our favorite players that you made a trade for and acquired and played many, many years here in Nashville. Steve Sullivan, named the interim general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. I know that you enjoyed his time here as a player, but what were some things that maybe you saw getting to know him during those days that made you think, hey, he might do what you do later on in his career?
Well, first of all, I just came up to my room after talking to Steve Sullivan. We spent about a half an hour together kind of going on what was going on in Arizona, and I told him I'd be happy to have more conversations with him and help him if any way I could, if he thought I could be of any value, but it would have to be after the series. So
that's fair.
I would think that would be fair. Yeah.
I don't know, if I'm not exactly the best judge sometimes of players as to the future guys that are going to be in hockey or what have you. I mean, Steve is obviously a very skilled player and a very bright guy in terms of the game, but I'd be fibbing to you if I said, oh, I thought this is the route that he would want to go. He was just telling me that when they, they moved to Arizona, that he really wasn't looking for anything. And he said that he was actually coaching his kids in youth hockey when the Arizona GM, Don Maloney, sought him out to, they were looking for a former player to do something in development, similar to what we've done to one of Steve's former teammates and Scott Nickel. And Scott said, well, I really want to coach my kids. If you can work this in my timetable, I'd be happy to help you guys out and get started, which they were very accommodating. It worked out for both of them. And now he's the general manager. So And the guy that is basically maybe not entitled, but right now is Steve's right-hand man, is former Predator Scott Walker. So it's just really interesting to see how these guys come along in their after playing career. And, you know, Scott's been a coach in junior hockey. He's actually coached the Canadian World's junior team, I believe. So he's had a lot of success, and now he's into the management of Arizona. So a couple of former Predators doing a real good job off the ice.
You talked a little bit about just your training camp and what you saw out of your players, but I'm curious just from your eyes of what stood out to you about your head coach now that he had time to, you know, acclimate, not in the middle of a season trying to put a system together, now that he actually had time to teach during this training camp, and just how you've seen him maybe be a little more comfortable in his role now that he's had time to acclimate.
Yeah, as I've said many times, if there was one silver lining in this pause, it was probably for our coach to get to know the players better, to meet with them, to talk to them about roles, contributions, to get to know his coaching staff better. And, you know, to me, we saw that right away from training camp, the organization, the preparation, the subtle changes that he's made in combinations of lines, if you will, and certainly in areas like our power play and penalty killing. So he's now, you know, clearly starting to put his stamp on our team, which was, you know, hard to do, you know, in the middle of the season. And again, I really like the way that he's dealt with our players, the relationships that he has with our guys. And I think if you were to talk to our players, they'd be very happy with how John has got the team prepared for this play-in round for starting with Arizona on Sunday.
We saw Jofa back together in training camp and in the game yesterday. When was that decision made of putting those three that have had a ton of success in the past back together?
Well, that was the coach and the coaching staff after, you know, some consultation with, like I said, our hockey ops group, and talking to us about what we've seen in the past few years. And I think specifically John talking to these all the players and these three players in terms of how they thought they could play, where they thought they could be the most effective, and who they could play with to be most effective. And again, I think that they were really happy they were put back together. And their play from day one, and specifically yesterday in the game with Arvey getting the two goals, showed us that our first line is back in intact, and that's a good start to going putting our club in a really good position to be a hard team to play against and to win some hockey games.
So, you know, I got to ask, UC Saros gets the start yesterday. Is that any indication that he'll be the goalie on Sunday when you guys play Arizona?
I don't think John Hines wants to reveal who's going to play goal until that time. I mean, you can understand that from, you know, any preparation that Arizona has to make. I think we'd like to leave that, for whatever it's worth, to the last minute. Again, maybe to the media that sounds trivial, but that's how they feel. But I think the big answer to the question here is that we're playing three games in 4 days, and you know, if we're going to have this hopefully a longer run, both these guys are going to play. As you saw yesterday, Saros was really good at the beginning of the game, and Pekka probably faced more shots in the second half of the game, and they both played excellent. So, you know, goaltending should be a strength of ours, regardless of which guy we go to.
You're a pro, David. You're a pro. Well done.
Well, you as you said, you had to ask.
I know.
It's just it's good. You got to have some stories still left out there. If we knew all the answers right now, and people may not watch the game.
I need something. Hey, David, I need something to talk about for the next day before you guys actually play. So I had to ask.
All right.
Hey, continue to be safe up there. Appreciate the visit as always, and let's talk soon.
Yeah, we're good. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, that is Predators General Manager David Poile. Appreciate the visit. As always, Willie, take us to the break with a word about Lee Company.
All right. We're excited to have Lee Company back in the fold here as a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. And let's be honest, they've never left. I mean, they have been very supportive of the Predators and our station for a long, long time. We appreciate their business. We use in our household, I'm sitting in my house right now, Lee Company has made several visits to our front door. We've got an older house, and over time, we've been in this house almost 20 years now. You're going to have things that break down. You're going to have some maintenance that you need on your air conditioning unit, on your heating unit, your plumbing, your electric. And so our relationship with Lee Company is extensive because we're part of the home maintenance plan. And so we have the annual checkups. They make recommendations. And when there are repairs that are needed, we get discounts because of that. It's going to save you money long term. So think big, think long term, and become part of Lee Company's home maintenance plan. All you got to do is call them, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. If you've got something immediate, by all means, call them, and they'll come out and give you the top-level service. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Make sure you're listening before we get out of here this hour. The fifth caller is going to qualify for a free Predators jersey. Remember, qualify. The winner will be announced at 5:45 today during the afternoon show, as it is getting very aggressive here in Smyrna. The Storms, very aggressive. It is pitch black, it is dark, and it is coming down in buckets. Really loud thunder and lightning, too, which Roman does not like at all. Don't forget.
Sawyer's about to be in my lap, just so you know.
That's what Roman does. He becomes a shadow. He does not like thunder at all. Don't forget, we've got game one coverage on Sunday. Pre-game at noon, puck drop at 1, plus special coverage starting at 10 a.m. So everything will be heard right here on the flagship station of your Nashville Predators, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Wow, that was bad lightning.
Yeah, I just pulled up the radar. I can tell. It is right over you. If you go away, we know.
I was gonna say, God, that's exact. You just took the words out of my mouth. If you don't hear me, you know what happened.
Yeah, and the big part of it isn't even to you yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll talk to you later.
Appreciate David Poyle for joining us from up in Edmonton. And it's here. As we've been talking about on the show, it is here, and the series against the Coyotes begins on Sunday. You can't take too much away from an exhibition game one way or the other. You can't get too high, can't get too low. Thought the Predators looked pretty darn good yesterday. And in the nightcap, I didn't think Arizona looked very good. What does that mean? Like I said, probably nothing. But it's going to be an interesting series. All these series, I think, are going to be fun, wild, and wacky. And we'll get a good taste of it. Five games tomorrow before the Predators kick off the action on Sunday. And by the way, kudos to you on the goalie question.
Yeah, I mean, look,
We're all looking for clues, right?
Right.
And it sounds to me like the decision has been made.
Yep.
That sounded to me like, hey, you know, it wasn't, hey, we're going to meet on it tonight and we're going to decide. It's, we're just not telling you. We know
but
who it is.
But when do you think it was made?
You.
Do you think it was made before the game?
Oh, I think it
game?
Was made before they got to Edmonton, I believe.
Yep.
Okay.
So now, I don't know that. That's just my feel for it.
Yeah, because we've all said Soros. I mean, we've all been on record of saying that we think that's who it's going to be, and we all said on the show yesterday before the game that, you know, whoever marches out there first for the Predators, we think that's the guy. So, and in that case, we're right. It's UC Soros. So,
and I would add that I think it was probably the mindset that it was Soros who ended strong, so that it was Soros's job to start the summer camp. And he's done absolutely nothing to show that he's regressed. And Pekka has played well, right? He gave up some goals in those scrimmages, but I thought that was a really good sign yesterday. But with all of that said, I think just the body of work of UC Soros for the season, the whole 71 games, not just how he ended, he was the better goalie of the two. David said it very well, David Poile. Our goaltending should be a strength, but the fact was that the goaltending was a weakness overall for a good portion of the season. It was dragging them down some. You could argue that John Hines was fired in New Jersey because the goalie play was so poor for the Devils. And you could say that for so many coaches, and I think Peter Laviolette could make an argument. If the goalies were playing better in a general sense, they might have been doing well enough to where he wouldn't have been fired.
But you could also say that they've been a better defensive unit.
Yeah.
They've been more responsible in front of the goalie since John Hines has taken over. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I would agree with that.
It's both, though. I think they're playing more layered defense. I thought that showed up yesterday, is when Dallas was trying to throw caution to the wind and come back. They were not finding the ice very easy to navigate.
Yeah.
Right. If they got by one guy, there was another guy there. Right. And that's the strength of playing the non-man-to-man, more of the zone hybrid defense that you hear Hal Gill trying to describe a lot, and he's done an outstanding job educating a lot of us on the differences. Whereas Peter Laviolette's defense was more straight man, and I do think they gave up more golden bang-bang chances that way. Even though, you look at the body of work over 5 years, that was a very effective way to play defense for a long time. It just got to where it wasn't clicking as much. But I do think the goalies have something to do with that, too.
Yeah, I understand shoo-in was probably a strong word, and so I got a little bit of the pushback. I mean, I get a little bit of the pushback from David Poile on that, but I believe that. I mean, there's just too much proof. I mean, that they clearly, there's something they really like. I mean, I get it. He's a big body. And as David told us, I mean, this is guy, it's not like some undrafted guy. He's a first-round pick, a former first-round pick. So, you know, this guy, for whatever reason, maybe it just hasn't all come together in his career to this point. But for the purposes of where he is right now, it is, oh, my goodness, man, that Lightning is, whew.
Yeah, there is a,
whew,
there is a pretty spectacular Lightning storm that is moving. It moved across Williamson County, and now it's kind of moving into your area. I was just looking at it.
I'm concerned that there might not be three layers to trivia in the final hour. There is a little bit of that concern, because right now the lights are on because it's dark here and everything is fine, but I don't know. Whew. There's some very aggressive Lightning here on the south side of town. But the reason I say that is there is something very clear that they like. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, 16 and a half minutes from a guy in the third D pairing yesterday in the exhibition. And, oh, by the way, 4.5 minutes of penalty kill. 4.5 minutes. I think the next most time shorthanded was 2.5. So he played 2 more minutes of penalty kill than anybody else. And I don't know. I just, like I said, I get it. I understand shoe in may be a little bit strong, but it's just the way I feel. I just feel like at this point, he is the fifth guy when it comes to the D-core. He is the fifth guy, and they're trying to figure out the sixth. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I would agree. I think he is definitely the fifth guy. I thought that before they even started the summer camp, but they've continued on that path. And I would bring up something that I think became apparent, too, that tying it together with what we just talked about, the system of defense that they play is a much better fit for Jared Tenorti. He's not a guy that can skate. Like, for example, a P.K. Subban or a Matias Ekholm or a Ryan Ellis, they can chase guys. They can cover guys all over the ice, right? Hal Gill or Jared Tenorti, and Hal's the guy that taught me this, right? I'm not making fun of Hal, but there is a value to a defenseman who is stay at home, patrol that front of the net, play responsibly, but isn't going to chase everybody. They can't do it. But Jared Tenorti in this defensive system fits very, very well. I think Corbinian Holzer does too. It does look like, though, that Holzer has slipped down a notch or two, and it's going to be either Yannick Weber or Dan Hamhuis that goes with Tenorti.
And it started with Dan Hamhuis, right? I think that was the combination, right? Wasn't it Hamhuis and Tenorti to start the game?
They more or less alternated. You might see, too. I know one theme is with Hamhuis's age and stage of his career, they don't like to play him back-to-backs.
Yep.
So I think there's a chance they'll use at least seven defensemen because there's a back-to-back involved. You might see Hamus in the first game, Weber in the second game, Hamus in the third game, something like that. That could happen. Of course, as David Poile said many times, he knows it better than anybody. You know, there's going to be wrinkles. There's going to be twists. You got to have a lot of guys ready to go. You're going to need everybody.
I think they have that.
Well, they got options, yeah.
I like their depth. I certainly do.
Speaking of options, you guys have a canoe? Anybody have a canoe at home I could borrow or a kayak?
I got to let my dogs in, guys. It's getting a little cloudy on the east side.
If your dogs are out, if I were you.
Well, it's not raining right now. Okay. We're fine now, but I got to prepare here.
I don't want to assume it's coming your way, but if it is coming your way, yeah, I'd go on and get those dogs in. Just me, just a helpful hint.
All right.
You're gonna want to be listening as we go into a break. Just be listening. Then we're gonna come out with the final hour and trivia. That's next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.